Brought to you by My Name is HumanPod.com. I am Human Hazy, and today I am joined by Papa Bear Moise. He is one of the co-founders of Genetic Chain, a blockchain NFT project. I'll let him explain it a little bit better. So, Papa Bear, kind of give us your background and experience, and what is Genetic Chain?
My background's tech. I've been in tech for a long time, floating around from literally one company to another company for probably the last 15 years, getting really bored at a lot of places, trying to innovate and getting shut down. Bigger places don't like you making changes. So, you know, they only like their ideas when it fits them, unfortunately. And that's good and bad, you know, so learned a lot. And this all kind of came about with, art blocks being really big in the early of the year. And I was like, hey, that's really cool. I would love to be part of that. And submitting, my spirals to them, actually. And, they got in touch with me and they're like, hey, let's do this. I'm like, cool, put all this work in. And submitted it, and then suddenly the replies started tapering off, and I was like, hey, so are you doing this, or what's the deal? And then just didn't get a reply, and got like seriously annoyed with the fact that like they were not replying, and I was like, you know, what exactly are you guys doing anyway? And kind of just like dug into the nitty-gritty of how everything works, and I was like, holy shit, this is actually like super simple.
I'm glad you think so.
I literally had zero crypto experience, hadn't touched any of that stuff, never wrote a smart contract, never did anything, and went from that to pretty much over the weekend had a working prototype of live art on the chain. I was like, holy shit, this is pretty awesome. Go ahead.
This is how the spirals came about, correct?
Yeah. That was my first project.
So what led to, I did want to make sure we mention, I have it in my show notes, your website, electronicdreams.io, tells a lot about your background projects that you've done. So you did the spirals. What led then to Genetic Chain working with Acid Burn and the others in that project? How did you guys get together?
Yeah, so this is not my first project. I've probably done over a dozen projects that didn't go anywhere or that just went first couple steps. One thing you learn really fast is no one gives if you build it or not. No one's going to come to your door. You have to learn to get an audience for everything. And, you know, trying to do both of them was an impossible feat that I just didn't even want to do. I've been running and helping the technology backend for a website called Espresso Beans for the last 4 years, maybe 3 years. They were in a really bad place. So I kind of came in and took over and helped them get in a better place. They got screwed by a developer that was taking advantage of them. And it's literally the number one poster art website in the world, pretty much. It has over like 200,000 plus art entries. So like any poster you could ever imagine, you find it there. So I've been a huge poster fan for a long time. And, you know, I've probably spent a significant amount of money on Aston's company, Bottleneck Gallery. And, you know, he's actually pretty active on there. He's one of the few people that actually own a gallery like that that are still active on there. It used to be like super active and now it's not so much. But, you know, he was actually, there was an NFT thread in, on that forum for a while. And there was a lot of back and forth between us and many other people. And I think, you know, Acid really got into the whole scene maybe like a little more than a year ago when he loved it. And he was really chatty about it. And, you know, I learned a lot from just that and knowing that, you know, there was someone on there that had experience on the social aspects of running a company. He seemed like the perfect fit. So, you know, one drunken night I wrote up an email and I was like, hey, you want to do this? Check out what I did. And he's like, cool. Yeah, this is neat, but I don't think I can help you. I have many projects going on. There was a few back and forths. I think, you know, the fact that I've got the speed working and I was like, look, this is something different. We can like, you know, we can modify the art after we mint it, which like, I don't think a lot of people were doing or anyone was doing back then that was really popular. And it was a way for, you know, an artist to connect with their kind of collectors after the fact of mint, which was kind of cool. So he really loved that idea and that kind of like got him on board. And, you know, 2 days later we started the Discord and he's like, all right, what do we do? And I'm like, I guess find some artists and I'll start building the tech and making this thing, you know, this weekend project real. A month later we had the Spiral launch.
Nice. So what inspirations kind of motivated the launch of Genetic Chain besides just art? Was there something specific that led you guys to want to go in the direction that you went instead of just doing a one-off of Spirals? You ended up, and we'll get into this more a little bit later, you're doing mini launches now with a bunch of different artists. So what kind of led to that motivation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, this is like, I love building tech. So to be able to do it all the time is like a dream come true for me because I can just like take my experience and to the next level of like, hey, we need this, cool, build this. Where I wanted to continue doing that for a long time, not like, oh, well, let's just do this once. And then I'm back to square one and have to work for a company and a client and they tell me what to do and I build stuff for them rather than building stuff for myself, you know? So I think the goal in the end was how can I continue building tech and amazing tech and, you know, build it for myself and do whatever I want to do and how I want to do it without, you know, having a big boss man say, hey, well, this is why we want to do it. And this is how you're going to do it, even if it's the wrong way kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And as someone who worked for myself for a long time, I can totally respect that. So let's get into the Spirals. How did you come up with the concept of the Spirals? Like where did that idea come from?
I've kind of just like been fascinated with them for a long time. You know, a lot of stuff just like pops in my head when I'm in the shower or just thinking about things. And I remember, you know, seeing an applet or something a long time ago. And I was like, hey, I remember this. And it just started from kind of, you know, doing one little small thing and like kind of prototyping it. I'm like, this is cool. Where can I take this? And then, you know, take it to that next level and figure out the palettes and figure out the spins and figure out, you know, bouncing back and forth. I think a lot of this gen art is interesting in that way where you can start with something really simple that's like a math equation. And then it's like, okay, now with math equation, it's boring. How do I make this actually interesting and fun? And then it probably took me, you know, a significant time from actually getting the prototype done to something I was like, oh, this is actually fun. And you know, I was actually at a festival for fish while I was doing some of it, and up in the gorge, and somebody saw it spinning and they're like, what is that? And I was like, I know, right? Yeah, I mean, I personally just got to a point where I loved staring at it, you know, like I still just like looking at them,
Oh
which
yeah,
is a lot of fun. So
I love the spirals, and there's like so many different like color combinations and shapes, and it's very interesting. So some questions I wanted to ask you about spirals is, and for those that haven't been involved with genetic chain, there is utility with the spirals, and that it's kind of a key that you need in order to mint some of the projects that genetic chain is collaborating with. So kind of explain to the audience, Papa Bear, what is the utility of spirals, and does rarity matter? Because right now I'm kind of mixed on that. I don't think it seems to matter as much anymore. So what can genetic chain do about the problem with rarity not mattering?
I think the idea was always to kind of, since spirals are the first project, to like give it a special place, and use it as something for me to play with. You know, the initial idea was I was only planning to do around 1,000 of them. And so when it came about that I would have to do maybe like 6 or 7 times that, I really didn't want to create something that was duplicated. You know, I mean, the reason that there's like, there's almost like 32 palettes in there, around there somewhere. You know, the idea was like, how can I make this so unique for everybody that everybody enjoys minting one and feels special of what they have? And you know, everybody can gravitate to their own palettes and all that, where you know, the rarity for me was like putting the rainbows in there, knowing that this is 1%. The different palette systems are more rare, and that's how I did it, rather than trying to like build in, you know, kind of more hardcore things in there, if that makes sense.
Okay, so fair enough. So the question I'm having is, do you think there ever be utility tied to the rarity?
I'm not going to say no. I think the idea right now is to try to like do a arcing project of you know, a run of 3 different projects that uses spirals, and you know, move into the next project and move to the next project, and you know, once all that's wrapped up, then we can come back around and figure out what else we can do. I think like right now we're just, you know, at least me is like learning so much about what I can get away with. And I first want to understand the limits of what's possible before we, you know, even dive into like taking advantage of traits and all that kind of
Right.
stuff. But, you know, definitely palette colors are super important. And I think if everything works out the way I want, you know, that will be something super important in the next project.
Okay. So actually, that leads to another question. Lately, there's been talk of evolving spirals. Explain what this means.
Yeah, so the idea is going to be, it's not set in stone yet. I'm still trying to figure out how to make it all work, but you know, allowing these things to mutate into another NFT, but transferring properties along with this. So it's going to be, you know, up to the minter to decide whether they want their spirals to, you know, evolve and move to this next thing. And the idea is that you can't have both, right? Like you keep one or you keep the other. Which do you want? You know, to build, to not add more NFTs in a sense, and you know, bring rarity and bring scarcity to the original spirals for all the ones that do evolve and move over. And then, you know, hopefully second project will be an evolution as well.
Nice.
Where you will again have to just, you know, be the decider of what you want your art to look like and what you're willing to sacrifice to make it look like what you want, and if you're willing to do that or not.
Yeah, I like that where a person has a choice as to whether they want to make that leap. So giving them that choice rather than making it something they have to do is good. So I want to transition now to something that's really big for genetic chain. It's something I'm a big fan of, and that's the passes. So passes, for those that aren't familiar with genetic chain, were based on your role in the Discord, so to speak. So you could mint a pass based on that. And what that does is when there's a mint, rather than do a whitelist, they basically call you in order of your pass. So there's four levels. There's Rainbow, Midnight Runner, and we'll get into how Midnight Runner a little bit more. I always forget the middle one. What's the middle one?
Chain Gang.
And then Geneticist. So we know passes lead to minting capabilities, and it also ties to the spiral here. For you have to have a spiral with the pass in order to mint. So where did this concept evolve from? Like, where did you guys get the idea for this?
I think that was, you know, mostly Acid's brainchild. And again, kind of giving the spirals more utility and you know, trying to reward. I think the main idea was rewarding your initial supporters of people that were able to mint both. I mean, we gave everything away for free. The spirals were free, the passes were free. So the people that were around and just paid gas had both of them. And the idea was to reward the ones that held on to both of them rather than sold one or the other just for money, you know.
Yep.
And that, I think that was the main goal behind it, is how do we support the ones that are supporting us.
And it was actually an incentive. So I minted the two free ones. I was a founder, so I minted the two free ones. Just randomly, one of my friends mentioned genetic chain. I went and joined the Discord early on, so was fan from the get-go. So I became a founder, minted two free ones. I sold one because free money, right? But I kept the other one for that specific purpose that you guys talked about, that there would be a utility behind the spiral by holding one. So I decided to keep it. So then you have your founder, your chain gang, your geneticist. But now you could say, if you had one of each of those passes, you could burn them and create the Midnight Runner pass. So what was the idea behind this? And were you surprised at the number that were actually created? 568 is what I saw on OpenSea today.
Yeah. I think a lot of that was, you know, just random ideas in my head that I thought could have been cool, and mentioning it on Twitter and just seeing a fire response. And then, you know, a lot of this is community driven, where we just saw so many people that were interested in it, and we realized that, like, you know, there's always a core group of people that really want to be part of a project and you know, are willing to go the extra mile for their project, and they're you know, want to be part of it. So what's the best way to kind of facilitate them?
Right.
And, you know, with all the stuff that happened with the Rainbow Spirals and us not able to, like, continue down the royalty route, just with OpenSea's kind of restrictions and not getting in trouble. There was already kind of like an elite status pass out there. So we were, you know, the Midnight Runner kind of was a perfect way for us to allow people to move up to that status, and show, you know, by showing, be like, hey, well, you're giving away three things for one thing. And we've pretty much only expected there would be like 200 or 300 of that. We definitely did not expect 500 and the entire geneticist pass to get.
Yeah, and that's one thing I wanted to mention.
Burn to the ashes.
so one of the benefits of the Midnight Runner is it created more scarcity in the other passes, because you burn basically almost 1,700 passes. So now there's
yeah, and, the, and, And that was definitely, you know, that was definitely on our mind as well, right? Like we wanted to bring the pass numbers down from the initial counts because they were so high. And again, we, you know, like we had 4,000 Genesis fasts and nobody meant it, right? Like we want to keep the core people around that want to be part of the group and are active to be part of the chain. And I think we done a pretty good job of that because they, you know, everyone that bought up a pass and bumped up burned a lot of passes. So we went from like 2/3 of the passes got burned and swapped out for one.
Now it inspired me to buy the Chain Gang and Geneticis and burn. So I was definitely motivated. So for those that aren't familiar with Genetic Chain, the Midnight Runner is second in line when there's a mint. So they are not the first ones called. The first ones called are the Rainbow Pass. So this, I know this is your baby. So tell us about your special affinity for the Rainbow Spirals and how they interact with the passes. I know you're pretty proud of this.
Yeah, they're like NFTs that are aware of NFTs. So the Rainbow Pass, when it was minted, is minted against a specific spiral number. So your pass number and that spiral, the Rainbow Spiral token ID, know about each other. Well, the pass knows about the spiral. So, you know, if it's in the same wallet, the pass will hold its color. And as soon as they're sold, the pass will lose its color. And the idea was to kind of shame people that sold off their spiral and kept their pass and kind of have a public, you know, kind of way to see like who's keeping what. And so it's all anonymous anyway, so nobody, right. You know, it's not necessarily about that, but taking it all to the next level, you know?
Yeah, that leads me to another question. So if people do decide to sell off their spiral because they already have the pass, what value is there now for a Rainbow Spiral other than it's the most rare spiral out there? Is there any value?
Possibly, you know, I can't say. The spirals and all NFTs in my projects are going to be special to me. So they were special at the beginning. They're special now. You know, as projects evolve and I have time to mess around with things, people that hold the unique stuff will definitely be rewarded.
Okay. And last, before we wrap up on passes, I wanted to ask a question. So people might see there's 630 some Rainbow Pass, a Midnight Runner, and they're going to be like, well, do these lower tier passes even matter? So tell us why they do matter.
I think, again, we have so many releases in the line. I mean, we literally have almost 20 projects going on right now. And not everyone is going to mint everything, first of all. We really want you to mint stuff that you like and that you appreciate and not just kind of mint everything. Some people wouldn't mint everything. It was totally cool. But the idea was that if you're in the elite tier, you get to mint everything and you pay the price to do that. And you are a core member and you want to be a core member. And that's why you got in there, right? Is because you want to mint everything. So if you want to mint everything, get a Midnight Runner and you'll be able to mint everything, right? And the smaller stuff will be all the gen art stuff that we're releasing.
Right. And Tribes of Avalon, but, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Right. So, I mean, other than that, there's, you know, so many other major projects coming on. If you want to get a Dalek, you know, you get to get a Dalek, right? Like if you want to get into the Avalon, you get Avalon. If you want to get the bears, you get a bear, and you don't have to grind for 17 hours and get shut down and you don't have to be in like Lil Heroes and,
right,
you know, have a broken contract that 50 people, you know, 50 mints because the guy doesn't know what he's doing. And you know, even the whitelist people will get shafted. So, why you have a pass.
And to me, this is the biggest benefit of Genetic Chain is I hate the whitelist grind. It's just like, it's not fun. It's not something I want to waste my time. I'm a busy person. So I work, I go after a master's program. I do a little content on the side. So that being able to have a pass that gives me that kind of whitelist utility is super important. I think slowly but surely, we're going to see more people gravitating to this type of ideal, that genetic chain. And I've seen a few other projects doing this type of thing. So what I want to move to now is the collaborations that you guys do. So we've already seen Lumis, we've seen iCabana, we've seen Tiny Ghost. In the past, the Passes have amazing artists like Pablo Oliveira, Raid 71, and John Guaido. There are a number of other projects of artists that are coming in the near future. We have Pixel Clouds this week. So how did Genetic Chain get involved with so many artists, and how do you work with them on these projects?
So I think, you know, having Acid have run a gallery for so long and just be really well with working with artists was kind of the best part of all this, where he handles pretty much all of that. And I let him handle all of that. So he's just really good with talking to artists and letting them kind of do what they want to do. And, you know, most of it is we're pretty hands-off. I'm a little more hands-on on the gen art stuff, just because there are more technical aspects that I need to handle with it. And mainly that is like when we deploy and do the on-chain, you know, or the after mint kind of changes, like that needs to be kind of set up all by me in the contract. So there's kind of a little back and forth there, but we're pretty hands off for most of the stuff. We kind of just guide them and offer them advice on, you know, the best ways that they can succeed with the PFP projects. That's, you know, like, here's a, you know, a good way to focus on traits and, you know, a good projects to look at and how they did it and, you know, how many combinations you should kind of have. And then, you know, just feedback if they want. We're like, hey, that looks amazing, or that doesn't look amazing.
Okay.
You know, nice. Try again kind of thing. But we definitely don't try to like push them to do anything they don't want to do.
Great. And that's good to have that kind of freedom as an artist. So I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Tribes of Avalon with Pablo Oliveira. So tell us what you know about this project and what role is Genetic Chain playing with him?
I mean, I think, you know, Pablo's such an amazing artist. You know, initially his posters that he's done for Bottleneck when they first came out, you know, were really by an unknown artist, and his fan base has grown just by the kind of complexity that he brings to his style. And you know, he did a LA future LA poster of like 2022 or 2052 or something like that, and same thing with the Neo Tokyo stuff. And you know, he just kind of fits that whole cyberpunk theme and genre so perfectly that, you know, we approached him, and with the pass that he made, we figured that, you know, if he wanted to make a bigger world, how can we work with him to do that? So we tried to, you know, give him as much leeway as possible. And, you know, I think the multiple characters were something we asked him if he'd be down to do. And that was, you know, a way to kind of like tie in Genetic Chain and their members into this world of only allowing certain people to mint certain things. And again, that's a good reason to have certain passes, is, you know, if you can only mint a geneticist at the member level, if you own a geneticist pass, you're automatically whitelisted for that. And to kind of like, you know, throw a twist in all this kind of like past stuff and PFP programs and, you know, just make it different than everybody else is doing it pretty much.
So you're going to have all these characters. Is there something you're going to be able to do with these characters, or is it just going to be a bunch of different potential NFTs based off of these characters?
You know, we're first focusing on just getting the characters done. What some of the stuff Pablo's shown us has been mind-blowingly amazing. You know, building universes and stuff is super hard. We've worked with a story guy to kind of give a background of the world these characters live in, and you know, kind of figured out the, like, what these different tribes and who they are and what, you know, what their factions do and stuff like that. So I don't know if we know the end game, but
it does look like there's going to be some type of integration with a metaverse type project, maybe.
We hope so. I mean, I have a lot of experience doing games, so like, you know, I understand how Decentraland works, the formats they use, and you know, how to get these characters in there is totally possible. So I think, you know, a lot of it will be getting this first step done, and then reinvalidating and then like figuring it out. I think the one thing we don't want to do is be a lot of these other, you know, projects that are just like one-off launches where they can get away with saying whatever they want and doing whatever they want. And then after Mint, they can just disappear and not have to actually, you know, execute on their promises. I know how much money it takes to make a game. I know how much money it takes to make an animated movie. You know, I have credits in both of those. So it's not something we want to bring up lightly without, you know, having a partner that I could be talking to at a studio, and having like a roadmap of, hey, we have a prototype of a game actually, and we have signed a contract with them saying that they're going to make it or something before we ever announce anything like that.
Right.
Yeah, people just don't understand the complexity it takes to make a game. I mean, it takes a year just to figure out what you're going to do. You know, the last game I was on, it took a year of 75 people to take it to the finish line after a year of, you know, 15 people figured out what to even do with the game. So it's a long process. And we definitely want to take it somewhere.
Yep. And my Earth 2 listeners, they will definitely relate to that. Earth 2, like I've talked to with you before the show, it's a game that they're envisioning, and it's a very slow process. They're moving very slow. They're being very deliberate. So that ties in just exactly with what you said.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's just a lot of projects that are like, hey, we're going to have a game by the end of the year. I'm like, unless you're like making the game right now and it's in full production, you're not going to have a game by the end of the year. And if you nobody's going to want to play it.
Right. It's going to be a crappy game. Yeah. So let's talk about the future of Genetic Chain and something I wanted to talk about. So one of my NFT bros said he really wants to get behind Genetic Chain, but his concern is the lack of traction projects seem to get after Mint. So for example, Lumi's and Ikebana, they have a pretty low floor prices. So do floor prices matter, and why or why not? And what can GC, so GC might be about the art, but are they cognizant of the importance of what drives a large portion of the NFT community, and that's making money? And how does GC plan to address that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to be careful about that. You know, definitely floor matters because that shows interest in the artist. Whether we want to focus on that too much, I don't know. I think our main goal is how do we make it fun for the people that are part of our project. We're not here to make anybody money. If you're here to make money on us, then it may or may not happen, but it's not like what we're here to promise you. We're here to deliver good art and try to break the boundaries of what is possible in this world, because we understand NFTs at a level that other people don't. And, you know, we want to just take art to the next level and explore ideas. And if that works out and makes a lot of money for people, cool. But we definitely don't want to pitch it as, hey, buy our NFTs and get rich.
Right.
Because that's a losing game, right? Like that's not sustainable for anybody. And it'll just come to bite you in the ass in the end, right?
Yeah, and I totally don't disagree with that. I mean, I think having that mindset will actually lead to the people that support the project eventually making money because of that.
Don't get me wrong, you know, we are the one thing we are missing is a good marketing approach and understanding
I saw a post from Acid on that recently about a partnership with a marketing.
Yeah, so you know, we are reaching out to many people and trying to figure out that portion of it. You know, the thing is that the amount of emails we're getting right now of people that want to work with us and collaborate with us is out of this world.
That's good though. That's good.
Yeah. And so we realize that, you know, our weakest point right now is to be able to market some of these projects. And so how do we, as a launch platform, figure that part out, right? Like, we want to be able to have people come to us and be like, your art is awesome. We will help you launch. And part of that will be, you know, having a marketing campaign for you and being able to get more Twitter followers. And then,
yeah, and
you know, all of that will hopefully.
That's the thing, Moise, is the art is so good that I think not having that marketing is hurting Genetic Chain, because it should be out there. It should be being seen by more people. GC has a good Discord, but it's nothing like other NFT Discords. But I hate those Discords anyway, so that's another story.
But yeah, I mean, we definitely, we're not blind to it. We definitely want to make the right steps and make the right partners so that we can, you know, move forward properly and not just kind of like, you know, getting followers for the sake of getting followers isn't worth it. I think right now the followers we have support us, which is awesome. So, you know, hopefully we can figure out how to increase that faster and you know, that will bring value to the passes and everything automatically as well. So
yeah,
that's kind of the next step and the next goal.
And I like that you're being deliberate about it and not rushing into some partnership, that you're like looking at your options and everything. One more thing I wanted to talk about before we moved on to the community was, and this is something people don't often like to ask or talk about, is money. So how does Genetic Chain provide compensation to the artists and their projects? And how does the team themselves, how are you being rewarded for your hard work?
Yeah, I mean, we actually give the majority of the money to the artists. We don't take very much. I have not released a project for money myself, so everything we've gotten has been secondary. There's actually no upfront costs to doing business with us or launching on our platform. We literally pay for everything and we do everything. And then, you know, we ask that.
So what kind of business model is that?
Well, I mean, the idea is that like we take, you know, how much ever we spend after the mint.
Okay.
And we take that allocation and then we take a small percentage after that, and then we give everything else to the artist. So, you know, the idea is we, you know, you know, Loomways, you know, Claylob had, you know, just lost his job and was super stressed out. And the fact that he could launch on our platform was like a dream come true for him. You know, I mean, like he's in South Africa and it was a lot of money and you know, he still didn't believe it after it was over that there was this much cash in his bank account and in his wallet, you know.
That's awesome.
Was a long way, right? So that completely changed his life. So I think that is totally worth it. The good thing about this partnership is neither me or Acid need the money. You know, so we come from pretty decent backgrounds and you know, I'm not going to lie, like the money is great. I do want to make a lot of money. But, you know, the goal of building something is definitely worthwhile way more than just the money aspect of it. So
you mentioned earlier there's 20 projects kind of in the works. I know looking at the release calendar, I see 8 projects on tap there. So you guys are working hard to introduce a significant number of projects. What inspires you to do so many?
It's more people just coming to us and want to work with us and us being like, we love your art. We will try to put you in the pipeline. For me on the tech side, you know, I'm good at not having to repeat the same thing over and over again and optimizing my workflow. So a lot of that is, you know, we'll be doing a lot of one-off stuff and trying to figure out like, okay, if we do clouds, how can I reuse that code to do Tara stuff? And how can I reuse that code to the next person's stuff? So in that, we're just kind of like building an arsenal of code that we can take advantage of, and other people can take advantage of too. So that's kind of the idea that like the more I build, the more I'll be able to reuse, and you know, the less overall effort it will be on us to kind of move forward. And you know, the nice thing is, you know, like so many projects make these horrible mistakes on these multi-million dollar projects because it's like it's the first time they ever did it, and it's kind of shocking, you know, that they don't get someone that's more experienced. Where, you know, I'm happy that we've been able to do so many smaller projects. And so far they've all done pretty well. And, you know, every time we do something, I'm like, hey, add a new feature to the contract. Cool. Oh, you know, for pixel clouds, you need multiple artists to be able to mint. Cool. Add that feature to the contract. And we can kind of just like get more robust and better. And then everyone that comes in the future can kind of take advantage of that.
So one of the things you're actually known for is your work on these smart contracts. How did you become so adept at working in this area so quickly?
That's kind of just the skill I've learned over the last years of, you know, I know around like 13 or 14 different programming languages, pretty much jumped from company to company, and every single company I went to, I had to learn the programming language they use from scratch. And you know, it's being adept at learning and figuring things out. And so, you know, the smart contracts are relatively simple. If you know C and a few other languages and understand a few concepts. So it was, you know, the hardest part was figuring out the tooling. But other than that, you know, it was pretty natural to just get in there and start looking at stuff. And I've never been at one to not read the code and figure stuff out. So just really going in there and running things and being like, what does this do? And poking at things. I think a lot of people are scared to do that, unfortunately. And so they, you know, it's fine to copy and paste contract to start with, but you know, again, like the nice thing is I get to deploy 10 contracts so far. Every time I deploy, I learn something new. So, right. You know, hopefully a year from now when I'm in like contract 50, and I've deployed 50 contracts, there's not going to be many people out there that can say they deployed 50 contracts, right?
No, like we were just talking about that when you're doing 20 projects this year, that's a lot of experience for you.
Yeah. I mean, like even, you know, ArtBlocks, they have one contract, you know, that's all they have. It's like, you just interact with one contract. Most places have a single contract you interact with, right? Like there's just not many people that get to iterate on contract week after week after week, which is the best part about this is that like I get to actually learn so much and build something that's bulletproof that like not many people can, right? Like there's just not many people that are building a launch platform that are doing custom. I mean, I think Nifty Gateway is probably the closest to what we're doing in that they do build their custom contracts for every single person they do. But other than that, there's, I don't think there's anybody else. I mean, maybe GenArt, I think, has their own, a single contract too. So I'm not sure, but, yeah.
So speaking of tech, one of the latest trends in the NFT world is, liquidity and NFT staking. Are there any plans for Genetic Chain to go down that path?
Absolutely. There is, a lot of that is just, I understand ERC-721 like really, really, really well. And I need to get my hands dirty with ERC-20. So it's all going to happen. You know, I think the complexity in the next year is going to explode of what we'll be able to do. The hard part for me is finding time to explore this on the side while we still have releases to do.
Right.
But absolutely. I mean, I think that's where the fun is, right? Like how do you, that's what makes NFTs fun. And this whole crypto space fun is that you can do
things
that
like
kind
that.
Of stuff, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, I personally, like, you know, when on Espresso Beans, when the NFT thing came up, I'm like, these are all lame, right? Like Bayek's totally lame. It's just an image. I mean, like at least is generated and unique for each one. But like the stuff on Nifty Gateway is just like, to me, pathetic, right? Like, oh, you minted a video that 500 other people minted. Great. You know, what does that get you? Nothing. Whereas, you know, with the Spiral, is the whole deal was like, hey, there's a, we're creating a connection now afterwards, right? Like, how do you build a Banksy shredder? Now we can, right? Like we can have an artist change the art completely and set the state for everybody after mint if that's something they want to do, right? So that's kind of the idea, is like, how do we take all this to the next level and make the chain matter, right? Like that we can't do this anywhere else but on a crypto blockchain.
Yep. So we talked a little bit about the marketing. So this next question kind of ties into that, and it's talking about the community. So let's talk about the current genetic chain community. Right now, it seems to mainly exist of Rainbow Pass and Midnight Runner Pass holders. What can genetic chain do to get more eyes on the project? And is that something the team even wants?
Yeah, again, I think, you know, a lot of this will start happening once we figure out our marketing and talking to our marketing guys. They have graciously agreed to work with us, and we're super excited. So I think, you know, all of this will come up on how do we foster the different levels. And, you know, again, I think with just the releases we have right now, it's going to be hard for the lower tiers to be minting the smaller releases. So they're already hard to kind of capture their attention. But I think once we start doing the bigger releases with the PFPs and stuff like that, where the passes matter to them, and we start whitelisting, and, you know, once it's hard to get a whitelist on our releases, then people will be like, oh, I have a pass. Yeah, I can just take advantage of that, right? And I don't have to grind and do all these things that I don't have to play these games and, you know, like, you know, spend like 4 weeks trying to get on a whitelist I really want to, and then not be able to mint. So I think right now, you know, just the nature of the stuff we've been releasing has not attracted the lower tiers. But I think, you know, within the next few months, as we start release, like when release bears, right? Like, I think that project is going to blow, you know, the PFP scene out of the water. Was just,
I love the look of the bears.
Stuff is amazing, you know, and he's not just doing bears, you know, he wants to do other animals. So that, I think that once that sparks something, people are like, oh yeah, that passed. Let me buy just one of those. And then I can automatically mint. Think then it'll be a big deal. But right now, I totally get it, right? Like,
and I think marketing is going to come really in play in those big projects like the bears. Having someone that's good at building up the hype is going to be important.
Absolutely, yeah, totally realize that. So that's actually the first project that we're going to be working on together. So
good. So last question. What's the future for genetic chain? Where do you see genetic chain in 5 years?
I mean, I hope we can, you know, in 5 years from now, have our own marketplace. Honestly, the idea wouldn't be that we'd be like an OpenSea, but if we could have, you know, a private marketplace where people that buy genetic chain, you know, NFTs, and people that work with us and want to work with us, get like a nice kind of like marketplace to work in and sell their stuff in and not get, you know, big fees and all that kind of stuff would be totally cool. Like, all this is actually super easy to do if I had the manpower and the right people to do it. I still am trying to convince a few people to quit their jobs and come join me doing this, but it's hard to do that, but hopefully it'll happen.
Okay. So I'm going to include in our show notes links to all the different different genetic change stuff, your background. So do you have any closing thoughts or projects that you want to share with the listeners?
Only, you know, my next project, I hope it should, you know, really allow people to take a risk or not take a risk and make a decision and, you know, trying to do something that I haven't seen many other people do before. And, you know, like there's a lot of the staking and crazy stuff going on with games, but I don't see a lot of that within just like the purely art world. And, you know, hopefully we can take the gen art to a whole different level, and, you know, gamify it to a certain degree, and let people be more involved with their art. So let's see, hopefully I can pull that off.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. A lot of great insight. Looking forward to what the future does have in store for Genetic Chain and for this space. So thank you, Moyes. This has been the My Name is Human podcast, brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com.
Thanks, man.
Get up off your knees, girl.
Get up.
Stand face to face with your God.
See you.